by Lord, and Ages Ago by Fourth Wanderers. We've had a great time in the studio today. I hope that you've had a great time, or a great day, a great hour.
Yeah.
Something great going on your end of things.
I hope you stayed warm.
Yeah.
Throughout all this cold. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your Friday afternoon leading into your weekend. I guess without further ado, I have been DJ Time Cop.
My name was Airbud, and this program existed as
Buffalo Banter with Mark Ruffalo. We should probably check on Mark to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, let's go to the press line.
He probably has some rug burn or something. Like that.
Meeting teen girls online is easy.
Hello. What's Can I hear up? Myself? I can't hear myself. There we go. What is up, everyone? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, DJ EJ.
Happy Friday.
How's your Friday been so far?
It's pretty sucky, but we'll get through it.
Yes, we all will. It's 5:02. PM here at WMFO 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio, and you're listening to All Chat, the video game talk show, where we talk about all things video game related / video game community related. And today we're going to talk about YouTube, right?
YouTube.com.
YouTube, www.youtube.com.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if any of you are familiar with the website, but we're going to be talking about YouTubers and YouTuber creation and just anything about it in general. We're going to play a song first just to get, you know, things situated. And then we'll be back to talk about that. So we'll see you right after the song.
She's a psycho from a Midwest suburb. No straight jacket could hold her. Wild eyes, they will lure me in her trap. I go mad just to hold her. Until I noticed that something was strange, out of my range. There was no way back, something went off in my brain. She was insane, here she goes again. A psycho from a Midwest suburb. I woke up and I told her, you warmed on me when the feeling's all gone. And I tell everyone, and the look on your face will slowly come undone. Cause it was all a front. And quietly, I say it to your face, that you will need to find another place to stay. And no, you won't know me when the feeling's all gone. And I tell everyone, hey. She's a loose cannon with a temper so absurd. Hiding from the police, yeah. Took pills with a name I'd never heard. But they were for sleep, she fooled me. That's when I noticed that something was strange, out of my range. There was no way back, something went off in my brain. She was insane, here she goes again. A psycho from a Midwest suburb. I woke up and I told her, you warmed on me when the feeling's all gone. And I tell everyone, and the look on your face will slowly come undone. Cause it was all a front. And quietly, I say it to your face, that you will need to find another place to stay. And no, you won't know me when the feeling's all gone. And I tell everyone, hey. Noticed that something was strange, out of my range. There was no way back, something went off in my brain. She was insane, here she goes again. A psycho from a Midwest suburb. I woke up and I told her, you warned on me when the feeling's all gone. And I tell everyone, and the look on your face will slowly come undone. Cause it was all a front. And quietly, I say it to your face, that you will need to find another place to stay. And no, you won't know me when the feeling's all gone. And I tell everyone, hey. And I tell everyone. And I tell everyone.
Sweet. So like I was telling DJ Hije, that's Quinn 93, and he's coming for Spring Fling at Tufts, for those of you listening and know what Spring Fling is.
Doesn't matter for us grad students.
Because, yeah, you're a grad student, aren't you?
Yeah, because we have to pay for the tickets.
Like, how much is it? It's like 15?
It's like regular price, whatever.
I don't know what that price is.
I think
is.
The guest price is like...
Why are you so low?
$30?
Hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't even know any of the artists, so...
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people do. But it's four artists, which is why they're all like, low-key, but that's why we have more of them. A spread-out budget.
I don't know. Is that what the people want, I guess?
People are kind of upset.
Really?
Because they don't know the artists.
That's the general vibe, huh?
But those that are, like, understand that it's, like, a... It's nice to have, a show where there's multiple artists, and all of them are, like, not bad.
Yeah.
Like,
my senior year, dude, Shaggy... Shaggy was the headliner. And do you remember how he played It Wasn't Me?
Yeah.
Twice?
Yeah.
He just doesn't have any other songs that are worthwhile or good.
Yeah. No one knows any other song.
Yeah, and everybody was just so bored.
My freshman year was Kesha. And I think that's why everyone's upset, because they're like used to Kesha, especially my grade.
I forget what... I only went to one my senior year.
Really?
Yeah, because of track.
Wow. Really? Like,
yeah.
What, like Spring Fling would always be during a track event?
During the conference championship.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway. little sidetrack there.
Yeah.
You're listening to All Chat, the video game talk show. And don't change the channel if you don't like talk shows about video games, because I swear we're entertaining.
Don't change the channel.
don't you do it.
No.
I know you're driving home from work, but we're here to entertain.
Yeah.
Anyway, today we're talking about YouTube because, for those of you that don't know, PAX East is happening in Boston right now, which is a pretty big deal, for many people in the online gaming community, creation, like YouTube, Twitch. What would you say is PAX? Like, what is it? Like, someone asked me, I told my barber, I was like, oh, you know what PAX East is? He's like, no, what is that? And like, how do you summarize PAX to someone that doesn't know anything? Like,
it's just it's a giant congregation of nerds.
But what would you call Comic-Con?
Different kind of nerds.
that's fair. But yeah, so PAX East is having the convention center in Boston, and we're actually going on Sunday. It's a 4-day event, just started yesterday. Today it's also going on, and there's just a lot of YouTube creators and
us. And so we're gonna have security detail. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Gonna be safe.
We're having a meet and greet Sunday at noon.
Yeah.
Meet us by the fountain.
Yeah, the fountain. That one fountain that's near.
I feel like I always see every YouTuber tweet like, we're meeting by the fountain right now. Like, it's always a fountain somewhere in the near vicinity that they're always meeting by.
Yeah.
I don't know if you follow many people, but that's always something they have in common. So that's what we have to do. So yeah, we're gonna talk about YouTube and what it's really like done for us in terms of like, you know, there's always the people that receive just a random video through YouTube. It's like, oh, that's most people's like familiarity with the website. But those that like use it as like kind of like as much as Netflix or live TV, like you just go there and like, this is what I'm going to watch after coming home from school or classes. Like, oh, like.
Yeah, here's a barometer for how much YouTube that I actually consume. I'm going to look at my phone, what apps consume the most battery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And typically YouTube is around 60% of my battery consumption.
60%?
Yeah.
And would you say that your phone has a really good battery? Yeah. Like,
I can last like 2 days without a charge.
So, wow, that's a lot then.
Yeah.
Like, but that's 60% in the past what?
Well, this is an average because I just charged my phone. So, yeah. But, yeah.
It's not over like the past 24 hours or anything? It's just like since last charge?
I haven't used my phone today because I had a pretty sucky day. Sucky, busy day.
So was it the snow?
Wasn't this... It was... Everything.
including the snow. So yeah, for me, I know that YouTube has been taking over watching TV like since eighth grade.
Yeah, I mean, who watches TV anymore? Ha, you old people.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, older generations probably. What are you looking at?
We're going into red.
You are
you're a little loud.
I'm a little loud.
Yeah,
I will lower my voice. I'll lower my voice as well as lowering my volume on the board. But what I was going to say is, for me, I watched this one YouTube channel called SourceFed that was created my freshman year of high school. And it was based off of just four hosts, all of them very unique and like mostly very funny people, loved doing improv. But they did three or four videos a day. Just talking about the news, and it was kind of like it was based off of Philip DeFranco. He founded it. Did you put your mouth on it?
What? No.
Oh, you're just reacting to that. But anyway, that's how I got most of my news, like on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I was coming home from high school and being like, all right, what do they post today? And just like watching all of their videos. So doing that for about 4 years throughout high school was just like so much. So these people have become so integrated into my life. Mm. And like, that's the interesting part about YouTube and how YouTube creators become like an idol to so many people. Yeah. That like when they meet them, they like do the same thing as like anyone with celebrities would do back like 20 years ago.
But you know, it's so interesting because they always say never meet your heroes. And I like kind of agree.
I've never heard that saying
Are
before.
Are you serious?
I've never heard that saying before.
You have to Google it right now. But if you do Google it, it just means like your heroes, you've idealized them so much that when you
like
actually meet
past
them,
past reality.
Yeah, when you actually meet them, you're gonna be disappointed no matter what. But yeah, like I agree with you. Like YouTubers have become like a part of my life since I've been in like high school, middle school, and like that was before Facebook was the news source for everybody. And for me, Philip DeFranco was my news channel. You know,
he founded SourceFed
in high school. Yeah, and his own show, the Philip DeFranco show on YouTube. Like, he was how I learned about current events.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't do my own reading because I didn't want to. He literally just paved the way for content creators like that. And then, like, once Facebook started doing it, he started posting his videos on Facebook too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's just been like the OG YouTuber.
Yeah, and that's what kind of carved the way for like independent journalism, where like stopping from only having to access it from channels that could be like, you know, politically charged or anything like that. This is very independent, and YouTube has become a platform where people can share their ideas and give you just straight up like facts as they happen, rather than like, and maybe afterwards be like, this is my opinion about these. Mm-hmm. Like, they have more freedom to do that as opposed to regular news channels. And on top of that, I had a friend who went to PAX yesterday and met a really big YouTuber whose name is Markiplier. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with him, but he's pretty up there with like subscriber count and viewer count.
He's like one of the highest subscribed YouTubers.
Yeah, and he plays video games. One of the things that pushed him very far forward was Five Nights at Freddy's. He would film himself like a face cam while he's playing it. And, you know, just yell a lot.
He would just scream. That's what he would
but
do.
But it was entertaining. For me, it was entertaining.
I laughed a lot when I watched him. But once he started playing other games, I was just like, you're bad at other games. I don't want to watch you anymore.
DJ Heejee is not the biggest fan of Markiplier, if you guys are not.
I am not.
If you guys can tell. Anyway, my point of the story is that he had a panel yesterday at PAX. And it was, like, filled. It was, like, hundreds of people were just there just to see this one dude who just posts videos of himself playing video games, right? And my friend said that people got to ask questions, like go up and ask him things on a microphone and stuff. And all of them, she said it was very surreal seeing all these people walk up and then just like the first thing they always say before they ask a question was like, first of all, I love watching all your stuff. Like, I love you. Like just things of admiration and like showing it's an example of how these people have like seeing him as just like blowing their mind. Like, it's just like, oh my god, he's a real, like, he's right there, like, I relate to that so much because I've met maybe a handful of my of YouTubers that I watch on a daily basis with so many hours. Like, seeing someone's face on your screen, whether it's your laptop or your phone, and then seeing them in real person, it's grounding in a way. It's like, whoa, it's just a normal person. But then it's also terrifying because Markiplier then, like, he's just a dude like making videos, right? That's when he started. He's just like, I'm just gonna make these videos on YouTube and see if anyone likes them. Like, it's not for fame in the beginning. Like, you're just a small level YouTuber at the start. But the interesting part is that some of these people like idolize him to the point that like, I wonder if it gets to the creator's head where they're like, wow, like, I'm making a video, but someone might be like in love with me to the point like, I might make their day. Like, I can make their like day happier.
But like, also there's the opposite where like the Logan Paul.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the interesting part. That's why it's so fascinating in the YouTube community.
Yeah, it completely depends on the person, I think.
For those that are unaware, Logan Paul is another large YouTuber slash content creator.
From Vine, mini comedy sketches on Vine.
And he's like how old? Like,
he's like around my age, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was older. Who's the older one?
Logan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well, anyway, he made he's done a few controversial videos, but one of the biggest ones that threw him over the edge was, do you want to describe?
It was a video detailing his cruise trip to the suicide forest in Japan.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was some content warning right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suicide. Anyway, what's it called? He filmed a video of this forest
in vlog style, you know, how people like just point a camera at themselves
and like had part of the footage include a literal human body
that was dead.
Yeah.
Like a dead human body was actually included in a YouTube video.
Yeah. And he like put it on YouTube for his like millions and millions of young kids.
Yeah.
Because most of his community
are like lower high school, upper middle school.
Yeah. So he just put it up there for these kids just look at. And while he was filming himself laughing.
Mm-hmm. If for them, it seemed like the video's vibe was like just a few friends, like, you know, just hanging on the forest and find something funny.
Yeah,
like that's
exactly.
He's wearing a Yoda hat. He's like really like clearly it's just like a joke to all of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's what struck so many people by like, dude, like you're posting this on YouTube and you do you see understand your platform. And that's what I'm trying to get at is that people end up like, what is that a sign up that people have these platforms and some of them just don't. Not that they don't deserve it, but like they just don't know what to do with it.
Philip DeFranco, like he described it really well as like, here are these like young people making like thousands and millions of dollars off their platform.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just have nobody to keep them in check,
mm-hmm.
you know? So they're just doing things without thinking about it. They're still young. They're like what they're thinking about is the views and mm-hmm. not thinking about the moral, social, like personal responsibility they have to their viewers and the platform
and
itself.
Like in an honest way, like why would they, you know, like why would they think of that?
Yeah,
if you're like 20 and you're like making thousands, millions of dollars
per video
that you post, and also understanding that you have millions of people subscribe to your channel and like you can't even read the comments because they're just endless.
And
like
they literally worship you.
Yeah, so having that like as a 20-year-old, like sure, you're gonna make a mistake, and I'm not, you know, absolving him of any responsibility he has for that video. There's absolutely no way around it. But from a larger standpoint, it's like that was bound to happen.
Yeah.
Like at some point.
It's just like I think nowadays YouTube's getting a lot of criticism for promoting content of its biggest creators.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's the creators themselves are not responsible or being responsible in what they produce.
Yeah.
And they're promoting big content creators, but shutting down smaller content creators, and that's like the whole big thing.
And then that's the politics of YouTube, like just like becoming more into like the light.
Yeah.
Especially following the Logan Paul thing, because they're cracking down a lot on like reporting and like flagging videos, and it's like actually damaging a lot of genuine novel creators.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know, I don't know if you know, I think we've talked about Justice Washington, who's here on campus. He goes by Seggy VA, and he does like
shout out to Justice.
Yeah, does like comic book dubs of Overwatch stuff, and some of his stuff gets flagged for like the most bizarre reasons, and like if that's a source of income for him, like that's a big deal.
Yeah,
like one video being flagged, like that's a lot. That's a big thing because you need to keep posting to keep making revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really important. And like so many creators are taking it to like Twitter to like talk about that. But YouTube's PR is not great. Like they're not great with their community compared to like Twitch or like compared to like literally any other like
large.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, transitioning out of the more serious topic, I think we should talk about our favorite content creators.
Let's do that.
I
mean, I mentioned SourceFed. But I haven't talked about the actual one I wanted to talk about, so you go ahead first.
Let's see. I have multiple, so I'm gonna start with my favorite gaming YouTuber.
So what we're gonna do is talk about our favorite YouTubers.
Yeah.
Talk about like why or like when we started watching them and like why at the beginning and what it's become now.
Yeah, I think for me, my favorite gaming YouTuber is Video Game Donkey.
Okay.
And I guess in starting from the beginning, how I started watching him, because of Reddit. I didn't know what I was watching. I didn't know he was Video Game Donkey and he was like a big deal until I watched something on Reddit. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's funny. And then I just started watching. And I started watching all of his videos in one sitting.
When you first saw him, you're like, oh, I really like this guy. So you watched a video he had just posted, and then you're like, oh, he has a bunch of other videos already posted.
Well, that's the thing. I watched one video and I forgot about him. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
And then I saw him again like a couple of years later. It was literally a couple of years.
When was this? Like how long ago?
I don't remember the exact date, but it was definitely in college.
Oh, okay.
A couple years ago, yeah. But and then once I realized that it was the same guy and he was doing this funny thing, I was like, all right, I'm just going to keep watching all of his videos. And then once I ran out, I was like, oh, no. But I like Donkey because Video Game Donkey because he is...
For anyone who doesn't know who that is, what is he?
Yeah, exactly.
What does he do?
He creates video game-related videos, and it's a nice mix of critical commentary and just messing around.
Yeah, trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, literally just trying to make people laugh. And... Mm-hmm. When he does critical commentary, he never leaves it on like a serious note. he always finishes his videos with like a dumb joke that's like meant to like tie into the rest of his, the theme of the rest of his videos. But when his commentary is so thoughtful, and it shows how much he cares about the creation of video games and the culture of video games. And I think that how genuine he is something that really like resonated with me.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of YouTube creators, whenever someone is very genuine and you can just feel that they like have this perspective that you're just like very engulfed by.
Yeah,
it's that's just the key. That's a recipe for being a very successful YouTuber. Yeah. It's like that's what you need. One thing that's interesting about Video Game Donkey is that he's been making videos for a long time. Like
League of Legends videos.
Yeah, since like what, 2012?
I don't know.
Like, it's been, like, a while.
Yeah.
All I know is that if you go back far enough, like, a lot of his early content is very, racy? Maybe inappropriate. Yeah,
politically incorrect.
Politically incorrect, yeah, for sure. The other day, my friend who's at PAX really does like Video Game Donkey.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she went, like, she reached a certain year where she was like, okay, I can't watch his videos anymore. I think it was around the time that he made the Girl Gamers video. I don't know if you know that one that he made.
I don't remember.
With crazy
the League of Legends team.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, it's just a reminder of like how, you know, some creators, like, it goes so far back that, and it's posted up there for everyone to see.
And it's always there, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So for Logan, like, that stuff is up there. Like, he'll always see that, like, 30 years from now, it's still going to be there unless, you know, YouTube collapses or something. But it's always going to be up there, and people have to, like, face those consequences. Or can, like, you know, grow from them.
He's at PAX East, by the way.
Really? Wait, who?
Donkey. He just tweeted, anyone at PAX East see any good stuff yet?
Oh, that doesn't mean he's there.
That's got to mean he's there. Why would he ask that?
But anyway, for me, my favorite YouTube community was like, at first it was Rooster Teeth, and, they had this group of people who made a playlist of videos called Let's Play, and it was a group of six friends, and they just played video games together and would do Minecraft series. They would do, you know, other games together. And it would always be 3v3, and it was always just funny because they're not great at video games. They're just, you just like them for their personalities.
When they're not good at video games, oh gosh,
they're just like mediocre, you know?
Yeah.
It was really fun watching them, and I just got addicted to it. I would always watch the next video that they put out immediately, and there would always be hour long like Minecraft like things.
Really?
Yeah, and I would watch it entirely. It was like my episode of Netflix for like freshman year coming home from school. But they did do other things. But anyway, they got so big to the point that they actually made their own YouTube channel called Let's Play.
Is that where the Let's Play started?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Rooster Teeth, huh?
Yeah. So they branched because they had such a huge community, they needed to make their own channels, and because they were producing so many videos on a weekly basis. And then after a few years after that, this is all starting in freshman year. So freshman year is when I found them. Which is 2010.
Of high school. Okay.
Yeah, freshman year of high school, which is 2010, for those of you that are trying to keep up with what age our DJs are. And then my sophomore, freshman year here at Tufts, the summer going into sophomore year, so 2015, they were doing a tour called Let's Play Live, where they're going to major cities and doing what they do in their videos, but just like live on a stage,
mm-hmm.
which is like, In and of itself, it's kind of crazy and weird.
Yeah, weird.
Like, it's a weird thing that our society has produced.
It's literally a live show where you watch two dudes play video games.
Yeah, it's six guys. They go on the stage and there's like a podium set up for each one of them where they just, while facing you, but the computer's facing them, they're just playing video games.
Like, podcasts too. Like, that's the, like, yeah, podcast, live like podcast.
Good Mythical Morning, they have live podcasts.
So does If I Were You, yeah.
Yeah. So this the way that YouTube has progressed into like live revenue
reality.
Yeah. It's so interesting because people will like, I was like I'm paying for this, like I will go see them play, like I need to do this cuz like I want to see them in person. And I think that's the interesting part, cuz for them I feel like it was a learning experience. This is the second year they had done it. I feel like it was a learning experience for them the first time they did, because like, how do we entertain people other than just sitting up? Like, we have to do more than just that, right?
Yeah.
We have to like engage them. We have to do stuff that isn't just playing video games, and like, what do people want to see? So I feel like it's an interesting challenge that YouTube creators have to face when they become, when it starts like crossing into going to PAX or going to conventions or meeting their fans in person. Like, what is it that you do so you're not just boring? You're like, hey, I'm the guy that makes those videos you watch. Like, like, you have to do a little bit more, you know? Yeah. Like, have to be an actual personality. And I feel like that's a lot of responsibility on these people. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like the thing is like, oh, it must be so hard being famous. Like, oh, yeah, like smallest violin plays. But in a way, it's also interesting. Like, I'm sure it is, has its difficulties and has its challenges.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the platform that you're like given. One thing I remember from the Markiplier thing is that someone also made a comment like, your videos make me so happy. Like, whenever, like, sometimes having a bad day and watching your videos like makes me like have a better day. And like, and I have a friend who's like, your, one of your videos, like, it changed his life. Like, you, like, he was like,
oh, because he talks a lot about his like own, yeah, own emotional journey and emotional, mm-hmm, issues.
Exactly. And, his, like, and, life, and there's, yeah, a bunch of vloggers that, who don't play video games, that do that, like lifestyle vloggers that, yeah, will just talk about like they're going through a hardship right now, they and they share it on YouTube. Yeah. And they don't do it to like, you know, like maybe sometimes it'll be like, and I'm just posting this video like for myself, but also I'm hoping that it, you know, might help you wherever you are right now.
Yeah.
And but then realizing that when you like, you know, meet these people in person at an event, and they tell you in person, like, that video, like, changed my life. And you're just like, like, what, like, how do you properly react to that? You,
exactly,
know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was just making that video, like,
for me almost, for himself.
Yeah, you know,
and
exactly,
not for anybody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how you deal with that so much admiration from just strangers who just watch, yeah, your video. But we're coming in an age where, like, YouTube and Twitch is becoming so common that it's not even a question anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it was a more relevant question maybe 4 years ago, mm-hmm, but now it's just like, okay, yeah, everyone posts videos of themselves and you don't even know them, but you're, everyone's a fan.
Yeah.
Especially with TV going down, 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 and online video creation going up, up.
All right, so we're approaching the half hour here.
Oh, we are. And are you going to do is that what we're playing? Is that what we're playing?
Yeah. I don't have an aux cord on my phone. You got to look it up.
Are you going to do a PSA too, though? Is that?
I mean, of course, there's a new one here. I can tell it's new because it's on nice paper.
What's it? I can't see it.
What?
The song.
Oh.
So yeah, we're going to do a song break. Before that, do you want to do it before or after?
Before.
Before. So we're going to do a... Is that by Mystery Jets? Got it.
It's okay. So you ready? Ready for this?
Yeah, so what we're going to do right now is do a PSA, jump into a song, and then we'll come back right after the break.
All right. The Museum of Science presents A Mirror Maze. The museum numbers in nature. An interactive and immersive new traveling exhibit that exposes and explains the mathematical patterns that surround us every day in the natural world. From the nested spirals of a sunflower's seeds to the ridges of a majestic mountain range to the layout of the universe. The 1,700 square foot elaborate mirror maze includes an immersive theater, plenty of hands-on activities for the whole family, plus fun dead ends and a small secret room hidden within. Throughout this interactive experience, you'll come to appreciate the beauty of our world through numbers. For more information about the Mirror Maze exhibit, which is included with exhibit hall admission, as well as everything else that's going on at the Museum of Science, check out the museum's website at moss.org. That's MOS.org. Or call 617-723-2500. Actually, this expires in 2 weeks, so remember that.
Nice.
This has been a public service message from the Museum of Science and your math and science loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was a long one.
I know. I'm a little out of breath. I'm a little parched.
All right, so we're going to play the song that you chose, and we'll be right back. You're listening to All Chat, the video game talk show, if you were unaware of why you're just listening to two guys talk about YouTube forever.
All Chat.
Yeah. Let those people know in your... everyone has a person they know that's a little bit of a geek, a little bit of a nerd. Let them know that this show's happening. It might interest them if it doesn't interest you.
You got two of them right here.
Exactly.
Give us a call also.
Yeah, let's go into the music. Yeah. I'm your host, Mr. Gracias.
I'm DJ Heejay.
And we'll see you in a bit. All right, and we're back. Welcome. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's the weekend.
Yeah, it's already 5:36. We're in the well into the second half of our show. If you're just tuning in, we are All Chat, the video game talk show, and we talk about anything and everything video game related.
Yeah.
Or just creation. Like
sometimes we talk about astrological signs.
You're not wrong.
We did that once.
We're like, you know how there's variety streamers? We're like a variety podcast.
Yeah, we have a very eclectic set of topics that we talk about.
Stick around if you want to talk about more or hear more about YouTube. As always, our lines are open if you've been listening this whole time and want to say something about YouTube or ask any questions about YouTube.
Because
we're like knowledgeable experts. You can always call and be like, what's this? Or like, what are the kids into? I'm not assuming that you're calling because you just don't understand, but you know, we're really knowledgeable and we're really young, so
yeah,
we just know a lot.
We know all the things the kids are doing these days.
Exactly.
And so the number is 855-915-WMFO or 9636. That's 855-915-9636.
Yeah, we'll love to take your call. But we're going to go back into talking about YouTube, and this time we're going to stray away from video games because... that's the easy part.
Yeah.
We have plenty of that. For me, the biggest YouTube biggest YouTube channel that I follow and like watched religiously with every video they posted and every past video they posted is Vsauce.
Mm.
With the Michael Stevens. Yeah.
The biggest source of memes on Reddit.
And they're a great channel. Like, especially back in my freshman year of high school,
yeah.
The videos that he produced were just so engulfing because they were about, they could be anything from, like, mathematics to psychology to sociology to biology. It could go anywhere. And the way they implemented it on the world and the way it was cinematically crafted and creatively, filmed was what made it amazing. The video production that went into making these videos is like my favorite part. And I think why I'm both a biopsych major and also a film minor in the crazy scenario that like I am in this, like that's what Vsauce is. It's like, it's a scientific channel, but it's also part of creation and the side of like, how do you deliver this information to the masses in a very like entertaining and fun way through their videos. That's where I think Vsauce is doing a great job. And I also, I actually met him. He had a talk at MIT, my freshman, my sophomore fall.
You're so good at seeking these people out in the world.
Well, here's the thing is that I didn't even know it was happening. It was actually, Leanne at the time was like, hey, do you see this poster? And it was like, it was through Facebook. It was like this event. And it was like, MIT, like career talks. Like it was Vsauce, Veritasium, and this other girl physics or whatever her name is.
Veritasium.
Yeah.
I like that name. Truth Potassium.
Exactly. And he's really cool too, but they're all like scientific channels. Like Vsauce was a little more psychology / like physics sometimes, but Veritasium is very focused on physics, and so is the physics girl person. And they were just doing a speech of like how they got into that career and how that is their like job now. And it was just like a lecture hall, and I went there. It was free. Me and Leon both went, and then afterwards you got to like talk to them and like just one-on-one because they were just walked outside the lecture hall. You got to meet them, and it was surreal seeing him because I was like, I think a lot of people were there for like the other people.
Yeah.
And like maybe they liked Vsauce, but like I was just like, oh my god, he's right in front of me. He's so short. Like,
yeah.
I always see him on my screen. I'm such a big fan. And like, if I could like work for you, I would totally drop everything and just work for you. I got to ask him a question too at the closing minutes of the lecture. I got to ask him like how he met or and found like Vsauce 2 and 3 with Kevin and Jake. I don't know if you've ever seen those two channels where they're two...
No, I haven't.
Like, spin-off channels of the same one because they just have so much content that they create.
Yeah.
Vsauce 3 is an amazing channel. You should watch that. But anyway, meeting him, it's actually my profile picture for a while. I don't know if you saw it.
Really?
Yeah. Where he's... I asked him to do the eyebrow thing he does because he does it in a lot of videos. And my caption was, as always, thanks for watching, because that's like how he signs off every single video. Ah, God, I was so obsessed.
Oh yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty proud of that. But again, that's just the same thing where it's like YouTube creators coming into real life. Like, how does that apply to like the everyday person? And yeah. I think MIT was, it was interesting that they reached out to them and like got them to come and do a speech about that.
MIT is all in it with the kids and whatnot, you know?
You know what my advisor told me yesterday or 2 days ago when I met with her?
What?
She told me that MIT offers this grad program about like science and media, which yeah. she said I should go look into a little bit more, because it's about combining like my two interests. It's about like how to convey some scientific information in media, like yeah. how those two play out.
Why is there a school for that?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what it's exactly. I was like, what? That's a thing they do? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Huh.
But if anyone, it's going to be MIT. Like, of yeah. course, they're going to yeah. be the ones that.
I mean, they're the leaders in everything. but for me, my favorite YouTube channel is something similar to mm-hmm. Vsauce, but they're more focused on culture and like pop culture, not mainly pop culture. They focus a lot on films and art.
And like critical analysis?
Yeah, critical analysis. And it's called Nerdwriter 1.
Nerdwriter.
It's Nerdwriter 1. It's not Nerdwriter. It's Nerdwriter 1. I guess Nerdwriter was taken.
Nerdwriter was taken. How, like, when did this start?
This was a really recent one, and I was surprised at how quickly I, like, fell in love with it. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I...
How recently?
Like, this year. This past year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I discovered them this past year, and I just...
Like 2018, sort of, or you mean, like, 2017?
2017, 2018. The academic year, all right?
Okay. All right. Okay.
And Nerdwriter 1 is essentially a YouTube channel that that provides critical commentary and critical analysis of different... media content. So it ranges from films to shows to directors to
like they have a whole team,
like art. I don't know what the team situation. I think it's one guy, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
One guy that does all this stuff. So he must have been like an art historian or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I took a couple art history classes when I was an undergrad, and I like really liked them. And I think this channel has been an outlet for me to explore like my interest in film mm-hmm. and thinking about film critically and thinking mm-hmm. about the way scenes are shot and what the directors are trying to produce and things like that.
It's my entire minor.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so interesting. But one video that really got me from them was an analysis he did of a painting by Goya called, I think it's like, something eating his son, Saturn eating or devouring his son.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's a really grotesque photo
yeah.
or painting. And he like did a whole like talk about the history and behind the painting and how Goya got to the point of painting that painting and what it means to Goya and why it inspires such feelings of like fear, not fear, but like just like it makes you uncomfortable to look at, you know.
I'm curious, what is the medium that these videos are made? Like, I'm picturing it like Crash Course. Have you ever watched Crash Course History or Crash Course Politics with John Green and his brother, the Green Brothers?
No, I haven't.
Because they do it like it's kind of like any other educational video where they like just start, it's like fun and entertaining when they're teaching you stuff.
But they're not. So this guy isn't on screen ever. He uses images and clips and videos and just like, and it's like really.
Is it animation or you mean literally like just clips of like?
It's
kind of like if you made a PowerPoint and just like.
Yeah.
Talked over it.
Yeah, but it's artfully done.
I figured it must be like.
Yeah, you can tell he was a film person.
If it was just pictures.
Yeah, you can tell he was a film person.
But it's like purely like...
So most of his things are actually on movies, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He uses clips from movies and talks about them and mm-hmm. analyzes them rather than...
Will there be like text boxes that come up and like with facts? Or is it literally just his voice over?
It's a voiceover.
Okay.
And he has quotes sometimes. But yeah, this one video actually about Goya's painting made me go to the library and look up a book on Goya.
No way.
Yeah, like it was that like
that's the best.
Like it literally made me like want to know more. Just be like,
yeah.
I want to know more about this guy, Goya, because I like never like really thought about him before. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew his name, but I knew the painting, but I never like thought about it. Mm-hmm. Like this that's what I love about art history, is that there's you always have to understand the circumstances surrounding the painting and the painter.
The thing about history in general is just like, that's the best part.
Yeah. But yeah, it literally made me go get a book.
So it sounds like most educational YouTube videos or YouTube channels where like, you know, it's kind of, most of the time it just might be one person just really interested in something.
Yeah.
And kind of wants to just show it outwardly.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, this is also something that people here at Tufts are taking art history and like learned about that in like one class or two classes. But this is like a video that perfectly engulfs that like sentiment, like will make you excited, will make you like interested.
Yeah.
And it's on your own terms. Like you chose to click on that video and watch it, you know, and that itself. As opposed to like, oh, I need to take this class for a requirement.
Yeah, it's like self-driven learning over
exactly
life. Yeah, uh-huh. Something you have to require.
And that's the thing about Vsauce or Veritasium or that it's like it's a very similar atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting though that you said that it's literally just a voiceover with just like video clips, because like that's not what I expect. I expected like someone to be like, you know, in front of the camera and like teaching.
No,
or, like,
I don't even know what his face looks like.
That's so interesting.
But like, there's a certain,
that it's still like engulfing.
Yeah, there's a certain skill to creating a video essay that's both captivating and because these are all video essays essentially. He has to write a script.
How long are these videos in general?
I don't know the exact. On average, they're like under 10 minutes, but they can approach 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's good, because I was like, there's no way it's over 10 minutes and people are still watching the entire movie.
But like, even in those under 10 minutes, it's like so informative, and it teaches, it gives you a deeper understanding of what you're looking at and what you've seen already. There was one on like why Logan is the best Wolverine movie.
Really?
Yeah, and he like goes deep into Logan's character and the creation of the Wolverine and Logan based on all the other.
And that's the fun thing is that the subject that he's talking about is one that's very like easily overlooked. Like everyone's seen the movie, or like, you know, a good amount of people have seen the movie but never had to like, oh, I saw the movie, it's a good
never
movie.
To think about
you
it.
Never have to think about it. But then hearing someone think about it, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, and like, that shot was shot that way because he wanted to show this.
I could talk about shots forever. Like in my minor, that's like some of my classes, is all we do is just like, we'll stop a movie at any point and just be like, why are we looking at this? Why did why did the cinematographer, why did the director this shot? Why is it here?
Yeah.
What is this meaning? And it's kind of like, you know, that in mathematics you have like this exponential growth that like will near a certain line but never actually touch it. That's how I feel about a lot of like cinematography and film creation. Like if you're able to have a movie, like if I made a short film like 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
If someone could pause your film at any given shot, pause and be like, why is that? Like, why is that there?
And explain
and
why.
And you have a reason for every single thing. Yeah. That's the like sign that you have a good film. Like that's the sign of a good film.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought about that.
And that's what I've learned through all my courses here, is that everyone has the same exact, like all the professors that are in the production like say, like if you want a good, like you have to have a reason for everything. Like, and shows that you witnessed that, like House of Cards, that was an amazing cinematography, like is beautiful in that movie and or in that show, and like every shot you can pause it and be like, oh, they're like literally like she's sitting down, he's standing up to demonstrate power, and like there's a thing in front of them that demonstrates a divide. Like it's almost like in any English class when you kind of divide up a paragraph and like someone's like word choice.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like in high school, be like, oh, come on, they're just calling the drapes red. The fact that the drapes are red doesn't signify like, oh, there's a war going on. It's like, you know, that feeling. But if you do that you can do that to films too.
Yeah.
And you should have that ability to do it. And that's what's so fun about it.
Yeah.
Like when you find a movie like Lady Bird or like Call Me By Your Name or, you know, all these major ones like Get Out, like all of them are magical movies because the directors themselves pour so much of their effort into them, and you can pause it at any moment and be like, they chose this for a reason.
Yeah.
As opposed to like Transformers, which is like more just an action, like it's not for the artistic drive.
No, it's just for the thrill.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, like my favorite YouTubers tend to be along these lines. Like there's another one who does the exact same thing, but with a different medium, anime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because anime is seen as this like...
Wait, which YouTuber?
His name is RC Anime.
Mm.
And he literally does video essays on anime. And I think the different thing about animation, not just anime, is that every shot is created from nothing.
That's my favorite, is animation.
Yeah, that's what's different about from animation. Nothing, yeah. They literally have to just make up an entire scene rather than have objects in front of them and place them in certain, like, it's like, yeah, they have full control.
Yeah, and like, that's the thing, is that they also, you also have, as an animator, and I don't know much about animation, but I have friends that are into it, is like, you have to think like as like as if it's a camera, because if you go too far off, then people can't watch it, because like, oh, this doesn't, you know, it's like, if it was like, I was like, oh, feasibly sometimes the cameras in this scene would be here.
Yeah.
Like, they still have to think like a cinematographer so that they can still convey their message and the setting to their viewers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because otherwise they could put it anywhere, because the camera is where they're choosing to show you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the interesting part. We were just talking about YouTubers. Dom Comics, or what is it?
Dominic's.
Yeah, I was going to say Dominic's, but it's like, Dom Comics is like his end screen thing.
Yeah, let me look at
what it is actually. YouTubers that do vlogging / storytelling, but are also animators themselves, so they just like animate it or like make it a comic, is probably the coolest thing I've seen. And I've subscribed to like 3 new people who do that through his channel.
He was on trending recently, that's why.
Oh, he's constantly on trending.
Oh, really?
Last 3 videos have been on trending, and I was like, wow, you're blowing up. His first one went on trending, and since then, a lot of his videos have been subsequently in trending.
Domics. Domics. D-O-M-I-C-S.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's like so like out there. He's not even like an American like experience kind of. He's like, what is he? Thai.
He says it in a lot of videos. Yeah. I just can't remember right now.
Like, yeah, he's an Asian American.
Yeah.
And that's also the great thing about YouTube, is that like these minorities, like we minorities can break into the like popular mainstream media.
And our stories become like
relevant,
our tool.
Yeah,
like,
and meaningful, yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's why it's fun with YouTube, is that you just have, you can just browse and you'll find something.
Something that you relate to as someone of some identity,
Or like whether it's the game they're literally playing as an interest. It's like, oh, that game, I haven't seen gameplay for, let me watch it. And then you're like, oh, this person's playing it, I actually really like them. Or like, they're very funny, or something like that. It's like, oh, and then you follow them, and then they have, it's kind of like you find a small thing that they do, and then you like find the actual person, and they're like, oh, this person, anything they make, I'll be a fan of.
Yeah, and it's not even just like that kind of explore your interest kind of thing. You can also like use YouTube as a tool to learn a lot of things. Like,
everyone just Googles like, oh, how do I tie a tie?
And like Adobe Premiere. I learned how to use Adobe Premiere from YouTube videos.
Really?
Yeah, because that's the easiest way.
Yeah.
You just like Google how to do this on Adobe Premiere, and there's always a YouTube video no matter what you're searching.
Exactly.
Somebody has made that YouTube video.
And but even from those like, you know, day to day things, there's the actual crash course like that the Green Brothers have produced, or other YouTube channels that like are full on like lessons. Like, people could just learn a subject or history class from this one video.
Yeah.
And that's the most interesting part. Like, YouTube has its own, I don't know if you've seen, there's a tab for education. Like, and there's also, when they made YouTube gaming, or like they tried to take Twitch over.
Somebody has to do a study on how much you can get learning wise from YouTube. Based on, like, there's 2 experimental conditions where one is, hey, don't steal my study idea, you academics out there. One experimental condition is when a person is forced to watch YouTube videos on a topic and take an aptitude test afterwards.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then another where a person finds YouTube videos on a topic that they're interested in, watches them.
That's already unfair, though.
Exactly, but like, how can,
like, what are you trying to prove?
What the best way to use YouTube for education.
You get what I'm saying, though? Like, how would you implement those findings into, like, real life? Like, what is the connection you're trying to make?
Because...
could YouTube take over academic settings?
Yeah, like, for example, like, people that are studying for they're trying to get their GEDs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need a teacher to teach you how to take the test for the GEDs, right?
Yeah.
That's you can study for it like by yourself if you have the time and the resources and the information available to you.
Well, that's what the interesting intersection that we're arriving on is the online courses, how they can sometimes be pre-recorded.
Yeah, actually, like, my internship has been working on some producing stuff like that.
Exactly.
To train literally like practitioners in like health fields to use a tool, an assessment tool. And I'm just like, how far are people going to take this? And when is the point where it stops being effective?
Mm-hmm. What's the threshold?
Yeah.
And it's like, at what point does it become so similar to YouTube where it can be any person who just is knowledgeable in the subject can post or be a part of these lesson videos?
Yeah.
Because like, these people who are making it on YouTube, they're not like, you know,
experts,
not tenured like professors. Like they can just like out of their own field of knowledge,
their own research also.
Yeah, and through their own research.
And so, and my also another question is, when does the human element, how much of it is necessary in order for true like meaningful learning to happen? So what by human element, what I mean is like instruction, like not by a video but by a live human being. Like how much of that is actually necessary in a world where YouTube is starting to teach people like real things, like piano, that's an easy one, guitar, people learn from YouTube, like literally just watching YouTube videos, you know.
And just like how we started this talk today was talking about, we get the news from YouTube, we'll get, you know, learn about video games from YouTube, learn about like someone might be talking about how a current breakup they're going through, and they're like, oh, like I get to see the inside of someone's mind through like a very hard breakup or divorce or something.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, what part of life isn't on YouTube at this point? And we're kind of ending on like a broad spectrum, and that's okay. You know, you want to end things on a brighter or broader note, so you make you think. Sorry if it's been a little bit rambly, but I think we're touching on very specific things.
We should just do a podcast.
This is basically a podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've been listening to All Chat, the video game talk show, with me, your host, Mr. Gracias.
And with me, DJ Hej.
And we'll be back next week, probably. You know?
Yeah,
this
we'll
is our
see.
First time back in 3 weeks.
We'll see how...